This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
To vote or not to vote? That's the question here today on Viewpoint. And reality is that your vote is testimony. Your vote is testimony. We'll talk more about that as we get into the program today. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and I welcome you to Viewpoint. By the way, for those of you who have been listening for a while or maybe not listening for a while, I want to let you in on some inside, well, we won't call them secrets, but some inside understanding as to how we do this program and why. As many of you know, we tend to do a couple of interviews a week. And when I bring guests on for an interview, it's very much like an attorney bringing on a witness to testify. Now, when an attorney brings a witness on to testify, the attorney needs to have some good idea as to what the witness is about to say. Otherwise, it may, well, not actually go so well in his case. And there are two different kinds of witness, well, several different kinds. There are general civil witnesses, the average person. Then there are expert witnesses. We tend to bring on a variety of so-called expert witnesses on the program to testify during those 2 days a week. Now, what they have to testify to is different. Each one has something different to say, and that's the reason why we bring them on. We don't bring them on just willy-nilly to fill up airtime, any more than an attorney that would bring on a witness just to fill up court time. No, we're here in the courts of the Lord. We're here to present evidence, both documentary and testamentary, to support what God says in his word and to tie it all together in a package that we then plead to a jury of our peers, the American people, but particularly Christians in America. Which means that you don't just ask an expert witness everything they know about a subject. No, the purpose you bring on the expert witness is to actually testify to the particular aspect of the concern in a case that the expert has evidence or understanding about. Not everything they know. So you bring on an orthopedic surgeon as an expert witness, and you don't ask him about giving you the names of all the bones of the body. No, you're going to ask him very specific questions as related to that which appertains to the case at hand. The same is true with how I interview expert witnesses here on this program. They usually come with a book. And I understand generally what the book is about, and there's a reason why I bring them on, is because they have something to say that's important in the broader perspective of what we're trying to do here on this program, which is to prepare the way of the Lord, to encourage, to equip, to woo, to warn, to bring conviction, all of those things that the Bible says that we're supposed to be engaged in as the body of Christ. So I'm not going to ask the expert witness about everything they know. We're going to direct the testimony. I'm going to ask questions and direct the testimony to those areas of specificity for which I brought the witness on the program. So that may help you to understand why I might spend more time speaking than you might think would be appropriate since the expert witness is coming on and you want to hear what the expert witness has to say. But what we want to do is make sure that the expert witness is testifying to those things that are pertinent for the reason they were brought on the program. Now, today we have an expert witness. His name is Craig Huey, and he has brought to us, he's been on this program before, he's brought to us his book, The Christian Voter: How to Vote For, Not Against Your Values to Transform Culture and Politics. So you have to know we're going to be talking about voting. We're going to be talking about voting from his perspective, but also from my perspective, we're going to bring it together, and hopefully between the two of us, we'll have God's perspective on that, and that will be encouraging, strengthening, maybe even a bit challenging to you as the listener. So again, I welcome you aboard. It's Conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. Before we go further with our special guest today, Craig Huey, I want to remind our listeners in Massachusetts, Connecticut, and New York, where we have been airing there for over 20 years. For about 15 years, we have done annual breakfasts up there for our listeners. We have one coming up on November 2nd. I hope you heard that. Saturday morning, November 2nd. And we want you to be part of it. It's those are amazing times as people come together, listeners, and sometimes people who are not listeners that you brought in as guests because you think it's important that they understand what we're doing, and hopefully they'll start listening to the program. So you actually are kind of an ambassador in that regard to get them on board. So the breakfast is on November 2nd and is from 8 in the morning till 11:30. They are always tremendous times together. My wife will be speaking, as I will be speaking. All of our books and materials will be there at substantial discounts. It's a wonderful time of sharing and realizing other people that think like you do. It's encouraging. Now, here's the deal. You have to sign up, register for this breakfast by October 15th. October 15th is the final day. I hope you understood that. October 15th is the final day to sign up. Go to our website, saveus.org, and sign up there, or give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. And on your check, put breakfast, something like that. Okay, we're going to go on now with our special guest, Craig Huey. And I apologize for having to take this time, Craig, to kind of set the record here. But it's very important in light of the time. And voting is clearly important, but a lot of Christians, for some reason, think that voting is just kind of dirtying up your Christian testimony, and therefore they're not going to get involved, don't they?
Chuck, it's great to be with you, and you're right. I'm here to tell you that based upon a Christian worldview, upon a biblical worldview, voting is absolutely essential.
Absolutely essential, Craig, because we're political animals, or is there something more spiritual about it?
Much more spiritual.
Very good. I'm so glad you said that, because otherwise we can get very confused, and people aren't necessarily all that thrilled about politics. So they think, well, you know, I'm just going to wash my hands like Pontius Pilate and say, you know, I'm not going to deal with this. So you and I, for the balance of our program, are going to focus in with specificity here, and I'm really glad to have you on board. Really glad. Friends, the book, The Christian Voter, $16 is going to put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. We'll be back in just a moment.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Craig Huey joining us today on Viewpoint as an expert witness who has done a great deal of research, writing, and so on, speaking concerning the subject of voting. And, you know, when we vote, we're actually expressing our virtues that are reflected in a truth that we stand for that develops an experience that we want to live under in our country. It's rooted in virtue. And as our founders said, without virtue, we have no foundation for freedom. And since the Bible says we should add to our faith virtue, then it would seem that our vote has to reflect our virtue. I wonder if we'll have, do we have any virtue, Craig?
Well, you know, if you read God's word, you study what the Bible says, we have an understanding of what that means. And Chuck, maybe to kind of paint this picture, let me give you a few facts and statistics that your audience probably doesn't know.
Okay.
And I think it would be very good to have this understanding.
Go for it.
That you started off talking about how a lot of Christians don't feel they should get involved. Well, here's the reality. About 20% of any church, I'm talking about churches that have evangelical Christians, born-again Christians, those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ, who believe that he died and rose from the dead, who believe that they can have a personal relationship with him, that there's a heaven and hell. They follow the biblical doctrine. And 20% are not registered to vote.
Wow.
Some churches are a little bit higher.
That's almost tantamount to apostasy, I think.
Well, here's the second statistic. Here's the second statistic. In this upcoming election, just less than 30 days away, basically what you're going to have at the end of this election, somewhere between 50 to 60% of the evangelical born-again Christians will not vote.
They Unbelievable.
Won't vote. You're talking about millions.
All right, so what they're going to do, they're washing their hands like Pontius Pilate, and says, I don't want to get involved in this stuff here. You know, I just want to believe. I believe in Jesus. I'm on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. And I'll let somebody else take care of this stuff.
Well, there's some who have that idea where they have a total disconnect between the fact that as ambassadors for Christ, a total disconnect from the fact that they're to be salt and light. They understand, for example, that the Bible would say, well, your family is an extension of your faith in Christ.
Uh-huh.
They would say that as a Christian, yes, I should study God's word. I should be in prayer. I should be in fellowship and go to church. But also, I should extend this to my family. Well, they also, as Christians, should say, yes, and I'll extend this to my job that God ordained where I'm working.
Uh-huh.
That's his purpose for my life. And they also will understand that they need to be out in the community and as with love and with being able to be his representative to people mm-hmm. in the neighborhood. Well, even more so, God's given us the incredible ability to direct the future of our nation, the direction it goes in. And unfortunately, it's headed in the wrong direction right now. And on some key issues, biblical issues are on the ballot.
Yes, they are.
And now, what's
happening here is that, in a sense, we're saying, yes, I'm an ambassador for Christ, but not really. I'm not willing to be an ambassador for Christ in the way I vote or to vote. I'm not going to speak into the life of my country, even with a vote that's going to take me a very brief amount of time to prepare for and to do. I'm just not going to do that. So we're abandoning our ambassadorship in many different ways, not just with regard to the vote, but with regard to things we're doing in the community, things we're doing or not doing, the things we're doing in our families or not doing. This is part of a bigger parcel, isn't it?
It really is. Because right now, people who are of faith take a look and they say, I can't believe that in the school system, they're allowing counselors and teachers to talk about transitioning to a different sex, that they're changing pronouns, that girls can go in boys' locker rooms or and vice versa, boys can go into girls' bathrooms.
Well, we know about those things, but the people are saying, oh, well, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. The future's not mine to see. Que sera, Jesus is coming back, so what else can I do?
Yeah, and see, they'll complain about it, but we can do something by changing the school board, changing the city council, changing the assembly and the state senate, changing the Congress and Senate, the governor, the attorney general, the DAs, and yes, changing the presidency. So it's not a Republican or Democrat thing. There's, you know, the Republicans have messed up, the Democrats have messed up, but they're looking not so much at personality. They're not looking at party. They're looking at what are the policies? What is it that's going to protect Christian rights? What is it that's going to protect parental control and be able to stop the – right now, everybody's suffering from – an incredible amount of inflation that's over 20% in general. Some things like food are much higher, electricity much higher. Mm-hmm. Everybody's feeling poorer. Everybody's having a harder time just to survive, whether you're on fixed income, whether you have a job. You're falling behind. You're not moving ahead. And that's because of inflation. That's the most immoral tax there is. And so some people say, well, I'm not going to bother the vote because, you know, I'm involved in my church.
Uh-huh.
But there's others who say, you know what, I'm okay with voting. I maybe even attend a vote, but they don't because they're too busy. They don't take the time to see.
Well, wait a minute. That sounds to me like consummate selfishness. It's all about me. It's all about me, and I can't be bothered. How could that possibly be justified as a Christian attitude?
Great point. And Chuck, sadly, that is what's happening. So many Christians will say, well, you know, I misplaced my ballot. I had it in my car, but I didn't know what to do. And I got distracted. You know, my husband came home. He was late. And, yeah. People need to vote early.
Oh, you mean we can do that now? We can vote early? We might want to get out there so we don't have any more excuses.
Exactly. And so this is how important it is. I could give you list after list of people running for school board and city council. Some are pastors. Mm-hmm. Some are born-again Christians. They hold to a Christian ethic. They want to see change. They're great candidates, and they lose by 1, 5, 10, 100 votes.
It's amazing.
Votes. And just to get this statistic, Chuck.
Yeah, well, people will say my vote doesn't count. That's like saying your testimony doesn't count. Testimony of the world doesn't count. And so people diminish their responsibility as an ambassador for Christ, saying, well, it doesn't matter. I'm nobody. My vote doesn't count.
It counts. You're accountable to God, not man. You're not held responsible if your candidate wins or loses. You're responsible to God and standing before him. But here's the thing. In this election, just think how close the presidential election is. In the swing states in 2020, there were six swing states that determined the election. In the last 4 years, with the war on pro-life, the war on Christianity, with the abandonment of the persecuted church, with so much going on, the last 4 years, in Arizona, Biden won by 10,000 votes.
Out of how many millions?
Yes, and there were close to 1.5 million Christians who did not vote.
Wow.
And the same thing happened in Pennsylvania. Just take Georgia. About 15,000 votes separated Biden from Trump. It went for Biden. And there you had close to 1.5 million to 2 million evangelical Christians who did not vote. 6.9 million in those swing states stayed at home.
And then you will have, unfortunately, though, you'll have the same people whining and crying about how bad the government is and how bad this is and how bad the schools are. They won't take responsibility. They won't lift a finger to mark a ballot because, well, I just don't want to take the time. I just don't want to be involved. I just don't like everything about anybody, and so therefore they won't choose. The problem with that is, Craig, you're married, right?
I am.
Yeah, how long have you been married?
I've been married 25 years.
Okay. Well, I can almost guarantee our listeners that you don't agree with everything your wife says.
That's right. You know, vice versa.
Yeah, and vice versa. So you're going to vote her out of your marriage because you didn't agree with everything she said, right?
Yeah, and more importantly, I think, is the fact that in a marriage you're going to have personality differences, but also you have commonality.
Right.
And in voting, we have commonality, not so much about somebody's personality or how they talk, or who they are, or
what they stand for, like their record,
yeah,
their consistency of,
yeah,
what they say and what they do, and
yeah,
so on. Those are the things,
exactly,
we should be looking at, aren't they?
100%. And it has to do with policy, because it's policy what people are griping about. It's policy what they're complaining about. And it's policy what really distinguishes those who would have a biblical worldview versus those who simply fall after the world.
So a smile doesn't cover a multitude of sin, does it?
It does not. And so we see that there's this whole issue of those who try to use their Christianity as an excuse not to vote. We've got people who just are too busy with life, and so they don't vote. There's a third group, Chuck, that's really sad. Remember I said there were six states right now, include Wisconsin and Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
That's where you have close to, you know, really, literally $12 billion of marketing money. A huge amount of that marketing money, over $30 million, is coming to demonize one candidate. That is Donald Trump. They're demonizing Donald Trump. But you know who gets it? It's only evangelical born-again Christians. There's a group called Evangelicals for Harris,
yep,
that are putting up Bible verses, liberal pastors.
It's supported by the great-granddaughter of Billy Graham.
That's right. And what they do, if you're a Christian, if you're on Facebook, YouTube, if you're on Instagram, if you do a Google search, if you're on any of the platforms, you see massive amounts of their videos and their posts and ads that are demonizing one candidate, and they don't. None of the people in Evangelicals for Harris believe that evangelicals who vote 84% conservative are going to vote for a socialist who is pro-abortion and has an anti-Christian bias.
And has a strong bias against Israel,
yeah,
has a strong bias against truth.
Right.
In other words, what we're talking about here, you say in your book, Chapter 3, strategically limiting evil while voting for, not against, your Christian values. So
right,
we can limit evil. We can't get rid of evil. We can limit evil by our vote, and vote for what you call Christian values. Now, I have a problem with the word values.
Okay.
Because what we're really talking about is Christian truths.
True.
Because values are susceptible, yes, to willy-nilly feelings.
Yes.
That's what the world wants to use. They keep using, yes, the term values because it's amorphous. Whatever your values are, you think they're talking about my values. No. We're not talking about values, we're talking about God's truths. That's what we need to focus on. We'll be back after this, friends. The book, The Christian Voter, $16 on our website, saveus.org.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
To vote is testimony. It's a testimony to what you believe or don't believe. It's a testimony to the things that you value or don't value. It's a testimony to whether or not you embrace the truth of God's word or you don't. It's a testimony whether you will expect those that you're going to vote for to embrace those same truths from God's word. It's a testimony as to whether or not you're going to embrace the killing of the young, 65 million of them under color of law since 1973. Are you going to vote for that? Are you voting for the kingdom of God? Your vote is a testimony as to whether you are a kingdom ambassador or an ambassador for the world. Your vote is a testimony as to whether you love God or love what benefits you think you can get from a worldly government. Are you beginning to get the point? So your vote, my friend, is actually a true test of what you really believe. That's what it is. It's a true test of what you really believe. Now, don't say, well, I can't vote for so-and-so and I can't vote for so-and-so because there's nobody that actually fully believes everything that I believe, okay? You're going to have to select. You're going to have to discern. Okay, so your vote is a testimony as to whether or not you can discern as a Christian or not. Are you beginning to get the point? There's no way to cop out. No way to cop out. You cop out and you're copping out on God and your supposed testimony that you're a follower of Christ and part of the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know how much clearer it can be stated. You said Jesus wasn't a politician. No, he didn't play politics. He didn't. Would he vote? Was he in favor of Caesar? No. He said, render to Caesar the things that be Caesar's, but render to God the things that be God's. How about you? I think, Craig, what we're talking about here is not quite as loosey-goosey, slippery, as we try to think that it is our involvement, at least to this minimal level, in a political responsibility, because behind the scenes, it's not just political. In fact, it's not even primarily political. It's spiritual, isn't it?
It really is spiritual. And, you know, Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. This whole emphasis, we're in a spiritual warfare, and we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You know, and so a lot of people are being deceived, distracted. They live in delusion, and they're Christians, but they're falling after things of this world and philosophies of this world, and that's what we have to be careful, because you gave a whole list of how to vote for, not against, your values when you talked about these key issues like Israel, about the protection of the unborn. All these are so critical, and each of these are on the ballot. I mean, if you sit home, you're saying, I don't care what the Bible says in regards to, you know, if prophecy. I don't care what it says in regards to Israel. I mean, I don't even care that it says, I will bless those that bless thee, and I will curse those that curse thee. You know, I don't want to be cursed. I don't want our nation to be cursed. I want to have God's blessing. And, you know, sitting back and allowing somebody who's anti-Israel to be able to direct and run our country, that is dangerous. That's falling into the enemy's trap. That's falling into what, in the spiritual warfare we're in, the enemy would have us to do.
All right, let's focus on a particular aspect now that is part of the discussion, and that is, what do we trust? Are we putting our trust in government? Are we putting our trust in the Democrat Party, the Republican Party, or any other party? Are we putting our trust in a particular candidate to save us? If we have that attitude, then we're engaged in a kind of idolatry.
Yes.
But if we understand we cannot put our trust in any human being or in any party or in any as a savior, then we get rid of the idolatry aspect, and what we're actually doing now is expressing our Christian moral values. And the kingdom of God, we're expressing that in our vote and trusting God to do with it what he will. Isn't that really how we should be looking at it?
It is. Because voting is both a positive and a negative. It's a positive towards advancing so many issues that are based upon a biblical worldview. You know, on the issue of life, that's on the ballot locally and nationally.
Well, from the Democratic viewpoint, it's the only thing on the ballot.
You're right. Yeah, that's their number one issue. And yet, Psalm 139, God knew you, Chuck. He knew every listener when you were still in your mother's womb. Throughout Scripture, we find the importance of the sanctity of the unborn, of being able to protect the unborn.
Well, this if your mother had aborted you, Craig, we wouldn't be able to have this wonderful conversation together. You would not be able to voice God's heart for the people in the context of perhaps one of the most serious, maybe the most serious and consequential elections in the history of the country.
And Chuck, I take it very personal because I was adopted.
Really?
And my birth mother gave me up for adoption, didn't have an abortion. I don't know who she is, but I thank God for her.
Mm.
And I thank God for my mom and dad that adopted me and took me in. And it's been an incredible blessing that God gave me those parents. And God bless all those who are willing to adopt. That's what the church should be doing in as form of its critical outreaches on this issue. But, the fact that you're dealing with the whole issue of abortion in this election is something that is so important. If there's any other issue, it's to go out and vote on that issue, which means where does the candidate stand? Are they for the horrific infanticide of killing a baby that could be viable in the womb? Are they, even if a baby, so many hundreds and hundreds every year of botched abortions where the baby actually survives. There, you ask a survivor about that, and they're on their knees thanking God that they were able to survive that abortion. And yet, there's states like Minnesota and California and New York and so many more, and these radical pro-abortion candidates, they basically have laws where they want the doctor and the birth mother, you know, you decide if the baby's born alive, you know, we'll just make it comfortable, and let it die.
Well, that's exactly what the law that Tim Walz signed does.
Yes.
Contrary
exactly
to what he said, it was proven on television. He was countered with that And he can't bring himself to admit that's what he did. He signed a law that would permit parents or doctors to decide what to do if a baby is born alive, even when they tried an abortion.
Well, that's part of the deception that goes on because the words say, oh, we're just out for freedom. We're for freedom of choice, and women should be able to make their decision. Oh, no. We're not for infanticide, but they are.
Well, look, should we be able to make our choice whether or not we're going to murder someone because we feel like it? Should we make our choice as to whether we're going to take money from someone else because we feel like we need it? You see, the problem with this kind of thinking is it makes a mockery of freedom. There are always restrictions on freedom. And freedom is predicated on doing that which is right from God's eyes, not man's eyes, from God's eyes. Yeah. And if you go back to the very founding of our country, John Adams said our Constitution or our government was made for a moral and Christian people and is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Well, we've long since abandoned that foundation. And therefore, what's happening is we're trusting Caesar to be God.
Yes, and that really sadly is one of the dividing points between many, many candidates running for office, that the government is their God, politics is their religion, they're zealots, they will lie, they will distort truth, they will try to do whatever they can because they have no ethics, no morals. They'll do whatever they can to convince people to vote for them. They'll do whatever's necessary to win, but they have this radical ideology that secular, pro-government, socialist type of philosophy where, they've replaced God, the true and living God, with the state.
All right. The state. Friends, we're going to be doing a program concerning the lordship of the state, total state, before too long. You're going to want to get ready for it because it's a very, very powerful thing that we're going to do. But for now, the Christian voter, it's on our website, saveus.org. It's Craig's book, The Christian Voter, How to Vote For, Not Against Your Values, that is God's truth to transform culture and politics. Politics, by the way, is how we get along as human beings. That's all it is. That's all it is. And it has many aspects to it, but that's all it is. Get a copy of the book, $16, on our website, saveus.org. Call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. We'll be right back with Craig Huey in just a moment.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
The Bible says that it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in men. It's better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Now, that would include popes, pastors, priests, politicians, presidents, and even parents. Why? Because we're all born in sin. In sin did our mothers conceive us. If you look at the history of pastors in the last 6 months, in Dallas, Texas, 10 of them, major, major pastors, had demonstrated their major clay feet and are now out of the ministry. Did you trust them? You see, our problem is not that we should have absolute trust in any politician or anyone running for office. No, we trust the Lord, but we're going to do what we can before God, following God's principles and his discernment, to vote for people that most generally, most basically embrace Christian truth and values. Okay? That's what we need to do. We're not absolutely trusting those people. If you do, you're in idolatry. We don't want to be in idolatry, but we do want to be ambassadors of truth by voting. Because not to vote is to deny and reject your ambassadorship to speak spiritually into the life of your own country. Now, that's a pretty abominable thing, I think. I'm just not sure what God will do with that kind of thing on the Day of Judgment. Just not sure. But Craig Huey is coming before us here today, passionately talking about the need for us as Christians to assume the responsibility to vote. To vote for God's kingdom truths and values. It's about the kingdom of God. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does that tell us about our vote? We should be seeking as best as possible to advance the cause of righteousness, not defined by a political party, but defined by the Bible. All of the Bible, not just the parts that make you feel good. Feelings now are distorting our ability and willingness to even embrace God's truth in our vote. Do you agree with that, Craig?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
The lordship of feelings?
That's a good way of putting it. And sadly, there's so many people in the church today that operate on feeling over what the Word of God says,
mm-hmm.
and well over what the biblical worldview would be. The fact is, the Word of God is really our guide. And so, you know, as a Christian, I take a look, and maybe there's not something in the Bible itself, but it's very obvious something that Christians need to be aware of. Right now, for example, there's the persecuted church.
Right.
Chuck, there's mass genocide going on in Nigeria right now against the people who fall out.
In the last 4 years, 16,000 plus Christians have been executed for their faith, and another 16,000 have lost their homes.
It's horrific.
In Nigeria alone.
Alone, because you could go on for 100 other countries where persecution in the last 4 years has picked up so much. And so the question is, why did it pick up in the last 4 years over the previous 4 years?
Because Jesus said that persecution is going to come, and it's going to come radically. And what you did not know, Craig, that since you and I last chatted on the air,
yes.
My 11th book just came out called When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. And it's not just about what's going on in Nigeria. It's about what's happening in America now.
Yes. And with pastors being locked up, with pro-life leaders being locked up, with censorship under the direction of the federal government bureaucracy, censorship of Christians on social media, with Christian teachers being fired, with so much going on, Christian workers being discriminated against, the persecution is huge. But that doesn't mean we can't do something to try to stop it.
Right.
4 years ago, under the Trump administration, there were two Christians that were in leadership. There was Mike Pompeo, who was the Secretary of State, mm-hmm. and Sam Brownback, which was the ambassador for religious liberty.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that? Ambassador of religious liberty.
Right.
They got together, and there was a pastor that was in jail in Turkey unfairly.
Right.
And this pastor, he was going to just be in there for, you know, who knows, maybe the rest of his life. They demanded that if Turkey is going to expect any type of a trade or assistance from the U.S., they had to release that pastor.
So he was a Christian hostage. He was a Christian hostage.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's free now, and he's speaking at churches throughout the U.S. And here's the thing. Country after country came to the U.S. at meetings they had. I was there. And in those meetings, they basically said, you stop persecuting the Christians in your country, or you're not going to get aid. You're not going to get our military help. You're not going to. It was.
Well, guess what's happening on the opposite side of it here, Craig?
Yes.
In Uganda and in Ghana, the Biden administration, and it started with Barack Obama, but the Biden administration is trying to force Uganda and Ghana to accept the practice of homosexuality by bribing them with American money. It's horrific what they're doing. And we can you see, if depending upon how you vote, would that be done under a different administration? I don't think so. So these kinds of things people don't realize are implicit in their vote.
Totally. And you said it at the very beginning from one of the chapters in my book, strategically limiting evil.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have to do this election, because there's evil now that's spreading worldwide from the U.S. as we outreach, like in that case. And we got to limit evil also. But just take the Supreme Court. Maybe for some people, the number one reason to vote in this election is the Senate and the president is who appoints the Supreme Court judges. Under Biden-Harris, the most radical judge ever, who even couldn't say who was a man or a woman, they were appointed. They're a radical judge on the U.S. Supreme Court, and there will be at least two, maybe even three new appointments in the next 4 years that would completely change the course of our nation.
Mm.
These Supreme Court judges and the other lower court judges are on the ballot. You want to strategically limit evil. You want to be able to promote Christian liberty and protect Christian rights, protect freedom of speech of the pastors and of Christian leaders. Then you need to be able to vote in order to make sure we have a Supreme Court that is going to uphold the Constitution and protect our First Amendment rights.
Okay. Some would say, it's a common argument, well, don't we have a separation of church and state? So therefore, Christians and pastors shouldn't be speaking into these issues. Here's how I respond to that. First of all, the 1803 letter that the Danbury Baptist sent to Thomas Jefferson was not in the Constitution, and none of that was ever in the Constitution. What Thomas Jefferson says, what? We're not going to have, you can be assured that the government is never going to create a church state. A state church. The government is never going to create a state church. Didn't say anything about Christians not affecting the government. That is a complete lie that was adopted by the Supreme Court in 1947. That's where all of this began. Now, Here is what I would say to pastors. Tell me what you think. I would say to pastors and Christians and leaders in our congregations, the issues that we're talking about are not fundamentally political. They're fundamentally spiritual.
Yes.
So let's speak to them as spiritual issues. Let's stop trying to be so political about it and pretend that it's just politics. No, the secular government is trying to make them political. They're actually spiritual. Go back to the Word of God, present things that way, and you should not have any worry or any problem with regard to the issue of separation of church and state. You don't have to promote by name a particular person. What you do is focus on what they stand for. Let the people decide. Spiritual issues. What say you?
You know, Chuck, you said it so well, and you said it from a sharp legal perspective in very common sense language, that it is a lie and a myth about the separation of church and state. Let me give you a kind of a historical perspective that goes beyond just...
You're going to have to make it quick.
Okay. The short version is this. Throughout the church history, we have been salt and light. We are the ones who have picked up babies on the road in Roman times and adopted those kids. Mm-hmm. We're the ones who stood up to the evil that was being done in different types of empires throughout history.
Stood up against slavery.
We're Christians. If it wasn't for Christians, as a social conscience, and then before the American Revolution, it was the Christians that helped spark the American Revolution, including the pastors. And the same thing with the abolition of the evil of slavery. Right. It was the Christians and the pastors and the teachers. They stood up against the evil and made a huge change. And today, the church, the Christians in the church have to be there, and the pastors have to be the moral conscience of our community. And that means they have to speak up against the evil and talk about promoting protection.
From God's viewpoint, right.
Yes.
Not just isolated quotes from Scripture, but the whole of the Scripture, God's righteous viewpoint. All right, The Christian Voter, that's the book, friends, $16. We'll put this helpful and encouraging book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries. Add $6 for postage and handling. For those of you who are in Massachusetts, Connecticut, and New York, remember the breakfast on November 2nd, but you have to sign up for it. Make your reservation by going to our website, saveus.org, or give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. Okay, look. Edmund Burke said this, "I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I should do, and by the grace of God, I will do." So how about you, my friend? How about you? You might even want to have some of your friends who are troubled by the issue of voting and so on listen to this program. Right there on the website. It'll be up there this evening. It'll be up there for a year, probably. Saveus.org. That's where they will hear it. So use this program as a tool. It's not just for you. It's for everyone. This is an opportunity to really make a difference. You can make a difference. Remember, you're an ambassador for the kingdom of God. Amen. Thanks so much, Craig, for joining us. You're a gentleman, a scholar, and a dear brother, and I appreciate it so much. Keep the faith, and let's press on.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.